T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Brian Billick joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing great this afternoon.
I want to start out by the question that we're all asking around here, and that is Aaron Rodgers lobbied to come back. He plays, didn't play great, and now they've got two games that we don't want to call them meaningless, but they're not really for the postseason. As a head coach, how do you approach this when you know your franchise is resting on the shoulder of Aaron Rodgers, who's not 100% yet?
Yeah, I'm not sure why you would play Aaron Rodgers, just from the standpoint of the risk. Obviously, he's medically cleared. Y'all dealt with that last week in terms of, is he ready, is he not, should he or shouldn't he? And once you're medically cleared, then it's up to the, you know, and that's assuming the player says, yes, I can play. And the coach then says, yes, I think you can function, which he did, you know, not at the level that we have come to expect from Aaron Rodgers, probably an unrealistic expectation in terms of what someone coming back in his situation could have really done. But I just see no upside in playing him further the rest of the year when obviously the playoffs are out of reach.
People around here, we have some former players. Gary Ellerson works with me, Leroy Butler. We've talked to a couple of guys, Donald Driver last night. They said, hey, nobody in that locker room is bigger than the others the way guys feel it. But when you're talking about a special player that you know is a Hall of Fame player like Aaron Rodgers, guys in that locker room wouldn't blame him if he didn't play, would they, or would they?
No, they wouldn't. You know, I go back to Jimmy Johnson's quote when he talked about working with his Cowboys and all the successful teams, and he said, look, I'm going to treat you all fairly, but I'm not going to treat you all the same. In other words, you're not going to treat a rookie the same way you do a 12, 13, 14-year veteran. Mm-hmm. During the course of the season, you're going to give a veteran extra days off and time off compared to a rookie, because that's just the fact of the matter in terms of taking care of your older players. Well, you're talking about a franchise quarterback, has a lot of playing left. If it were the type of injury where there would be absolutely no chance of further damage, and you wanted to play him just to kind of finish out the string, and he wanted to play because he's a competitor, I get that. But this shoulder will be better a month from now, him not continuing to play, than it will be if he plays regardless. So why would you risk that?
The other aspect of all of this is changes in the offseason. Dom Capers said yesterday that, well, his defense hasn't panned out the way he had hoped it would have here in Green Bay. It almost sounded as if he thought maybe his tenure was coming to an end. How do you evaluate coaches under you when things, I mean, statistically things haven't worked here over the last few years for Dom Capers? How do you evaluate that as a head coach? Is it situationally, or how would you look at this?
Well, you got to look outside the numbers, and you know better than anybody. You have to look at, are we progressing? Have we performed up to our abilities, given the fact that there have been injuries? And every organization, particularly when you've been together as long as Mike McCarthy and that group in Green Bay is, there's been some natural changes and attrition offensively because of guys who've gone on to become head coaches. That brings new blood in. That brings a little bit of different perspective. Obviously, there's going to be a consistency as long as Mike is there. Defensively, you could ask the same question. Sometimes you do just need to make change for the sake of change. I don't know if that's the case now in Green Bay. Dom Capers is an outstanding coach, but that's a decision the organization and Mike McCarthy are going to have to make, whether it is just time to make a change just to get a new perspective.
So if I guess how much do you put into personnel? Because that's always the hardest thing is, do you have the guys to play what it is you're trying to do as well, right?
Well, it's like I said, yeah, you have to evaluate how do we perform given our personnel. You can't just make an arbitrary, well, here's a line in the sand and we need to produce this level. Well, what was the injury? I mean, you could look at the offense. What was the expectation for the offense for the 6 or 7 weeks that Aaron Rodgers was gone? And to look at the performances against a team like the Ravens and the Steelers and the Panthers when Aaron Rodgers, or I shouldn't say the Panthers prior to that, you know, is it realistic to say, well, no, we got to make some change offensively, even though we didn't have Aaron Rodgers, our starting quarterback, we're playing a guy that didn't have a lot of experience. Well, we still should have beaten the Ravens and beaten the Steelers. Well, that's unrealistic. So you've got to look at, okay, no one knows better than the organization of Mike McCarthy what those injuries were on defense. So what are your expectations given the fact that the group that you're dealing with was not your frontline group?
You had mentioned injuries. Can you recall a year in which we have seen so many devastating injuries?
Well, I'm sure those that want to quantify it can go back and say yes or no. It always feels like it, particularly when you're talking about the quarterback position. We lost an Aaron Rodgers. We lost a Carson Wentz. We've lost a Deshaun Watson, who looked like a brilliant up-and-coming. Sam Bradford, even though Case Keenum has filled in admirably since that. Yeah, typically when you look at the loss at the quarterback position, that's when you tend to have the hue and cry of, oh, my God, we're getting beat up. Whether player for player, lost time a starter for lost time a starter across the league, I'm sure someone keeps those numbers and will tell you, my guess is they're probably about the same as we've had over the last few years.
Coach, to kind of go off the field, we just saw the Carolina Panthers, and then obviously their owner is now stepping away. The league has got some issues, not only on the field but off the field, that they have to deal with this offseason. Is this, with all the attention being paid to the NFL, sometimes they say good, any attention is good attention. Is this good for the NFL?
Well, yeah, from the perspective you're talking about, we are talking about the NFL. It's still the most popular sport, but I will say this. And there's been ebbs and flows in terms of people that are predicting the demise of the National Football League. I remember a book, a staple of my library years and years ago, in the early 70s, talking about the demise of the NFL and why and all the things we're talking about. It was called The League, The Rise and Decline of the NFL. And in very great detail put together why football was going to fade. And that was written, I think, in 1971 or 72. So yeah, there's going to be ebbs and flows, and the league obviously is dealing with a number of issues, whether it be with the concussion protocol and all that goes with that, the new collective bargaining, how much football can we have? Is there a saturation point? Doesn't seem like there is because it keeps growing. Obviously the on the field slash off the field of the players, whether it's taking a knee, whether it's the domestic violence. But I will say this, even though that comes and goes and it seems to survive, I do a great deal of traveling. I travel to L.A. every week to do my shows for the NFL Network. Obviously, around it, keep a pulse because of the show of what's going on around the league. When you get out and amongst the fans, whether it's here in the Mid-Atlantic for Ravens and Redskins and Eagle fans, or when I get on the road and fans approach me from all over the country, the league has got a problem. It really does. There are a lot of fans that are turned off at a number of different levels, not the least of which was the protesting of the players and the way the league handled it, that it's very, very real. And the fact that the games are more enjoyable to watch at home and online than at the stadiums themselves, we're at a bit of a crossroads for the NFL that maybe we haven't seen for a while.
Yeah, we don't feel it here necessarily with the 70,000-plus waiting list to get right. season tickets for Green Bay, but you can see it around the rest of the NFL. By the way, we're talking with Brian Billick, Super Bowl-winning head coach and NFL Network analyst. We've seen him for X-Tech pads here on this program numerous times. I got to ask you, back to the game itself, we saw a butt touchdown this weekend, and we saw a touchdown we thought was a touchdown, and it wasn't a touchdown in the Pittsburgh and New England game. Does the league still have to go back to the drawing board and figure out how to define exactly what the hell a catch is?
Yeah, and I've joked about it before. I may have on your show. Where, after doing this for 45 years, there's two things that I don't know. There's a lot I do know and hard to quantify, but there's two things I will readily admit I do not know. I do not know what the league is looking for when it comes to a head coach, and I have no idea what a catch is. None whatsoever. With regards to the Pittsburgh play, and I think Tony Dungy summed it up very, very well, because we can go through the mechanics and what they're trying to do to make it more consistent and so that there's that bright line about what a catch is and isn't. But the comment that Tony Dungy, and Tony's obviously very understated in the way he approaches it sometimes, but said, only in the National Football League, on any other football field in the world, Pop Warner, JV, junior high, high school, certainly in the college game, the Pittsburgh catch was a catch and a touchdown. Only in the NFL is it not. And even though there's been a great deal talking about it, I'm doing radio shows today, that's all anybody wants to talk about. Yes, the league has put it out there. Within the league rules, clearly that was not a catch. that's a problem for me.
Yeah.
Because is that the way we want it? Is that what we want called for the reasons we wanted it called? I think the lawyers have gotten too involved in terms of bringing definition to it. It was supposed to simplify it for the officials. Let's remember the officials on the field all ruled it was a catch and touchdown. So yeah, and then it'll be talked about in the offseason, the competition committee and the ownership about, okay, is this really the way we, yeah, certainly in New England, they're going to say, no, the rule's fine. But in Pittsburgh and a lot of other areas, I think we've over-regulated like we have in society, maybe to a degree, where we need to go back and look and say, look, have we lost common sense in terms of what is a score and what is not?
Yep, no doubt. Hey, are you going to be in Minneapolis with us again this year?
Sure, well, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I am too.
Going back to my own old grounds. It should be great fun. Cold, so where, you know, of course, you all are used to it.
Yes.
But should be good. Should be fun. I'm looking forward to it.
It's always a pleasure to talk to you, Coach. We will talk to you either in Minneapolis or sooner than that. So thanks for taking a couple of minutes with us, okay?
Sounds great.
All right, pal. Talk to you later. There you go. Brian Billick, Super Bowl winning head coach, part of the NFL Network. He, too, can't figure out exactly what the heck a catch is. The league has a lot of explaining to do this offseason. Man, they got to figure some things out. When we come back, there's Tony, Chris, Dave, and a cast of thousands all on hold. He joined us on the Schneider Orange Hotline.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.